show of hands this morning, and I want you to put your hand up if you're someone that enjoys job interviews. Oh, there's a couple. I see. Interesting. That's good. The majority of you don't. I'm pleased about that because I do not enjoy job interviews. I've only done a few, but they weren't pleasant experiences. They have been called one of life's most nerve-wracking experiences. A survey that was done in 2024 amongst a select group of job seekers found that 93% of people who are going for a job interview have anxiety about it. 41% of candidates worry that they'll not be able to answer a difficult question, and 20% worry about looking nervous during the interview. One question that is notoriously difficult to answer is, what would you say is your greatest weakness? That's one that trips a lot of people up. And there's a lot of suggestions online, if you look about how to answer that question. Many sort of begin with a weakness or a perceived weakness and then suggest that you try to turn it into a strength at the end. Kind of like something you would see on The Apprentice, where people are always trying to front up and look strong. And then there's lots of kind of also funny kind of responses as well. And I'm saying that to kind of preface the fact that I'm about to try and make a joke, okay? So just be ready to laugh, because the first service this died, okay? So I'm hoping it's gonna do better. So be ready to laugh. The funny responses that I found to this question, what is your greatest weakness? The first one was, well, I have only one weakness, and that's kryptonite. Okay, that's a bit better. The second was, my greatest weakness is actually detecting my own weaknesses. And the third one was, my greatest weakness is I've never learned to ride a unicycle. That's the jokes over. There'll be no more jokes, okay, so that's it. But I found this piece of advice from a CEO who had interviewed hundreds of people for positions throughout his career. And he said that this question does always stump people. But he said the best response he had heard to it was when somebody said, look, to be honest with you, I do make mistakes because I'm human. And I'm sure I'll make mistakes if I get this job, as I'll learn the ins and outs of it. But what I can say is that I'm here to work hard, I'm here to learn, and I want to continually get better. An answer like that kind of cuts through and stands out because it demonstrates humility. It demonstrates a recognition of personal sort of human weakness, and it embraces that weakness in a way that is humble enough to seek to learn from it. So much of our life that we engage in, social media, podcasts, news outlets, we're always encouraged to be strong. Lots of things encourage us to figure out how to project strength in the world. We're endlessly encouraged to dig deep down, to find a well of strength that will enable us to live our best lives and overcome the things that are holding us back. And some of that mindset is okay. That's not entirely bad. It's good to look for those things. But the reality is also that it only goes so far. And for many, many people nowadays, they find that strength isn't there. The obstacles are too big. There's too much set against them. And so they are left feeling like actually they're failing. They don't have enough strength. They feel like they're weak. And they feel a bit like a car that's stuck on the side of the road because it's got the wrong fuel in it. It just won't go. Which is why, at least one of the reasons why we are in the middle of a pandemic of mental health, poor mental health, and also in the middle of a thing called the meaning crisis. People are searching for meaning. But as Christians, as people who follow Jesus, we live in a different story. The theologian Tom Wright says that we live in a world full of people struggling to be, or at least to appear, strong in order not to be weak. But we follow a gospel which says that when I am weak, then I'm strong. And he says this gospel is the only thing that brings healing. At the heart of the lectionary reading that Jennifer read for us this morning, from chapter 12 of Paul's letter, second letter to the Corinthians, is Paul's own experience and understanding of God's grace in human weakness. At the time Paul wrote, Corinth was a flourishing center of trade and industry, where the perception of strength, much like our own day, would have been highly valued. And Paul was under attack from a number of different groups who were seeking to infiltrate the church for their own gain. There were so-called super apostles demonstrating their strength and claiming that Paul preached a gospel of weakness and that he himself was a spiritual weakling. So Paul writes to the church in Corinth because he wants to strengthen them, and he wants them to rediscover and to be centered on the authentic gospel of Jesus Christ. And he does that because he loves them, and he knows that God loves them. The main thrust of what Paul writes is not to project strength or to make himself look strong. He says in verse 5, I will boast only about my weaknesses. And he does that because God had taught him a lesson. And God had taught him a lesson through a thorn. In verse 7, Paul writes, even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Whatever that thorn is, God allows Satan to inflict it on Paul to create weakness and to hinder Paul's human strength in some way. And so Paul does what any of us would do. He prays to God and he asks him, God, take this away. The passage says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. But each time, Paul just gets this same response from God. My grace is sufficient for you. My power works best in weakness. I wonder if you've ever felt like you have a problem or a hindrance or a thorn in your life, and you've prayed and prayed and asked God to take it away or to fix it and to make it better. But the answer you get doesn't seem relevant. He's not doing it in the way you want him to. In those moments, we can often feel like God is distant or he doesn't get where we are, but God is intimately acquainted with every aspect of your life. And so what God is calling us to, and what he's calling us to this morning through this passage from Corinthians, is to hear again potentially a word that he's spoken to us in response to a problem we have in our lives. To sit with an answer to something that he may have already given us, which we may have discarded. And through prayer and time, to allow God to reveal its meaning to us. We don't know how long that took for Paul, but it might have been years. For us, it unfolds all within verse 9 of this passage. But in that one verse, there's a monumental shift in Paul's worldview and in his understanding of how God's grace is worked out in his life. And by the time verse 9 finishes, he's no longer asking for the thorn to be removed. Instead, he can say, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. So we need to figure out, what had Paul learned? What had he discovered as he worked this through with the Lord, possibly over years? My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. How are we to be strengthened by what Paul learns and what he's sharing with the Corinthian church as we listen into this letter? You see, if we buy into the idea that God is a God who just occasionally, when we really need it, intervenes to help us out and then kind of disappears again, instead of acknowledging him as the one true God who sustains every aspect of our lives and the universe, every second of every day, what we end up doing is reducing the gospel down to a life enhancement program. Something that's a nice little addition to our strength to give us that kind of extra power, a bit like an electric bike, where you cycle sometimes and then whenever you need help, the battery takes over. But that's not the gospel that Paul's trying to commend to the Corinthian church. And that type of belief for us today is a bit like filling up a car with dirty fuel. It may go for a while, usually pretty badly, with very little power, but before long, that engine's going to stop and the car's going to be stuck on the side of the road. When God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, my power works best in weakness," God's saying that he will continually fill us with his strength. And all we have to do is stop looking for fuel in the wrong places and acknowledge that we're empty and receive what we were made to receive that only he can give us. In doing that, God may not take away the weakness, that thorn that is in our lives, but his power strengthens us and it works through us in spite of the weaknesses that we have, and God gets all the glory. At the 1992 Olympics in Barcelona, there was a competitor running a 400 meter semi-final called Derek Redmond. Many of you might have seen this on YouTube, but as he ran the race, he all of a sudden grabbed the back of his leg and it was clear his hamstring had gone, and he fell to the ground in quite a dramatic way. But as people gathered around him and tried to sort of help him off the track, it was clear he wanted to finish the race. He didn't want to go off the track. And so he began to limp in pain, and it was painful to watch. And as he limped along, with still a long way to go, all of a sudden from the corner of the screen comes this man running out, who turned out to be his dad, who had leapt onto the track. And his dad wraps his arms around him and he holds him up and he encourages him and he tells his other people to move back because he's going to finish. And with the assistance of his dad, Derek managed to do the full lap of the track that remained as the crowd gave him a standing ovation. It was beautiful to watch. And when his dad was interviewed after, he said, "You know, we started this thing together and we're going to finish it together." That's how God's strength works in our weakness. Just exactly the same way. We're all wounded in some way. We all would struggle to finish the race on our own, and we wouldn't make it. Creation is not as it should be. But our weaknesses, if we embrace them and live with confidence in God's power to use us in spite of them, will bring blessing to others, and it will bring glory to God. People can't see our Heavenly Father. We can't see him helping us down the track. But they'll know by our lives and by the way that we engage with our weaknesses that we view them differently. We don't revel in them. We don't celebrate them. We're humble and honest about them. But through them we receive the power of God. So I want to encourage you this morning. Bring your weakness to God, whatever it is, temptation, laziness, never knowing what to say or putting your foot in it, illness, fear, whatever it is for you, whatever holds you back, whatever the thorn in your life is, bring it to God and place it before him in prayer and ask him to display his strength through your weakness. Nigel and Susan have been away for a couple of weeks, and it's led a lot of us into doing stuff that we may not always have to do. And some of that has been really challenging and stretching, and I found myself really hitting up against a sense of weakness in that. Going to things, sensitive situations where I felt, what am I going to say? And feeling the pressure to have something profound to say, or a prayer to pray, or a passage to read. And the more I thought about it, the more stressed I got. And I was studying this passage and trying to figure out what to say about this. And I felt God really making the teaching real to me and saying, you know, just come to me. Bring all that weakness that you have. And allow me to work through it. It's not going to go away. But just show up. Go to that place I've called you to go to. And realize that I'm going with you. And I'm going to work through you. And you don't need to worry about what you're bringing to the table. Because my strength's going to be enough. So that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. And then go forward in faith. And that's the place where his strength will be displayed most in your life, most beautifully, where it'll bring the most blessing to other people and bring the most glory to God. God used the thorn to teach Paul about the power of weakness, allowing him to say, when I'm weak, I am strong. And the same can be true for you this morning, and it's true for me too. Early Christians, like those Paul was writing to in Corinth, were called followers of the way. And they were followers of the way of the cross, which itself is a way of worldly weakness. And they sought to follow that pattern of Jesus' ministry. In Mark's gospel, Jesus sends out the 12, giving them authority to drive out spirits, impure spirits. And he says this, the passage says this, these were his instructions, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts, wear sandals but not an extra shirt. Jesus calls his followers, us today, to take up our cross. It's not a gospel of worldly strength, but it's a gospel of a better kingdom, of the kingdom of God. And it's made possible by God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we have this strength available to us. Paul was afflicted by a thorn in the flesh that changed his life. Jesus, God's own Son, was afflicted with a crown of thorns. And he was mocked and jeered and spat upon, and he was nailed to a cross with a sign that said, King of the Jews. And in that place, God's ultimate power became perfect in ultimate weakness. So that anybody that believes can have their weaknesses made beautiful by the power of God through faith. That's the gospel that Paul was commending to the Corinthian church. In Christ, we no longer need to seek approval from the world or try to hide our weaknesses, because God sees every weakness that we have and he loves us anyway. By embracing the strength of God through our human weakness, we can see more of the power of the Holy Spirit released in our lives as we co-labor with him in faith. And in Christ, we can see the weaknesses of others as works of God's grace. You know, we always have things in church. We're a family, and families don't always get on, and we have times when we rub up against each other and cause friction, and there can be, you know, rawness and dispute and difficulty. But if we start to look at weakness this way, we start to see, well, we have thorns, each of us, and other people have thorns as well. And you can start to ask questions of God and say, well, how is it you want to use the thorn in that person's life to do a work in my life? How can I love them in spite of the weakness they have, in the knowledge of my own weakness and in the knowledge of how you love me in spite of that? There's no limit to what God can do through a community of people that can tap into the power of weakness in that way. So as we wrap up this week with this talk, I want to give you an opportunity to try this out. Over the past number of years here at Bangor Parish, we've been doing this thing called We Are With You, or New Life for the City. And if it's your first time today, what it is basically we've been following God's call to go out of the church and go to the streets of this community to say hi to our neighbours in various ways. And we did it again in the month of June. And it has been challenging, and it has brought blessing. And I just want to show you a quick 1 minute video, which Gareth's going to play now.
Yeah. the church has decided to get out past the four walls, right in the community, and let people know we're here and that God cares for them, God loves them.
This is the first time I've done it tonight, and it's been nice to do, actually. You know, it's not been as scary as I thought.
It was a really good experience tonight.
We have to be prepared to go out and tell people about Jesus and invite people in, and it's not something that comes very, very naturally to me, so I thought this is an opportunity to practice and to grow a bit of confidence in that area.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect, but initially it was quite pleasant and we'd be quite happy to do it again.
I want to just say again thank you to everybody who took part in that, and especially to Michael and James who helped to organise it. It was really, really good. But as we met together each week in the welcome area there before we went out, we all felt our weakness, because we're going out there to make ourselves vulnerable, to knock doors and kind of stick our neck out, stick our head above the parapet, and that makes you feel weak and it makes you feel vulnerable. But what happened every time that we went out, and has always happened, was that in a very normal, almost unnoticeable way, the power of God showed up and worked through us and through our weaknesses and brought blessing to us and to those that we met. We'll never maybe know the impact of those calls and what God is doing there, but we trust him for the transformation there. But the one thing we can be sure of is that he's changing us as we go. He's building our faith. As you leave today, we managed to do about 600 homes, over 600 homes, which was a wee bit short of what we wanted to do in the month of June. And so we've got some envelopes left over. But actually, the fact that we came up short is good news, because it meant that we were having more conversations than we expected to have. And some of those were brilliant. But as you leave today, we're going to be handing out the envelopes. And what I really want to encourage you to do is to take an envelope or two or three, and to take it home and to decide to call around to a neighbor with it, and or a family member or a friend or whoever you think it is God's leading you to give it to, and to chat to them about what God's doing at church and what the church has been doing, and just bless them with a gift. And as you do, you may well experience that sense of weakness, thinking, what are they going to think of me, and how's this going to change the relationship? And am I going to know what to say? And I just want to encourage you to use that weakness to allow you to come closer to God and bring it to him and say, God, I'm not necessarily going to try and figure out a clever script. I'm just going to go. And I'm going to go in my weakness, and I'm going to trust that you're actually going to be there and your strength's going to be enough. And then go in confidence that even though you're weak, he is with you, and he is strong, and he is going to bring blessing.